But I want to talk this morning, and I hope that we engage today in a conversation about Pentecost and what it is. I'm in the middle of a series that I think is pretty neat that the Lord's given me, is about what is it that's left a mark on your life? Has Jesus left a mark? Last week I went into my big paintball spiel about the marks that we leave on each other, and you know, realizing that when you get hit by a paintball, the reason it leaves a mark is because it hits you so hard that it actually leaves a bruise is actually an internal mark. You guys realize that, right? When you get a bruise, it's because you're bleeding on the inside because you got hit, even though it doesn't bust the skin on the outside. And sometimes paintballs would do that. They'd break the skin, but for the most part, they would just bruise you. So the harder the hit, or if it hit in certain spots, it would leave a bigger bruise because it's a little more sensitive there. And that's kind of even about what we talk about, some things that where Jesus leaves a mark. I think that's kind of appropriate for what we deal with our spiritual life, where Jesus hits us in certain spots and it goes to the internal part of our makeup and who we are, our soul, our spirit, our emotions, to where it affects our lives, to where it leaves a mark that is actually noticeable by others. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, about what kind of mark has Pentecost left on us? For Christians, Pentecost is it's a holy day that we actually commemorate for the coming of the Holy Spirit on early followers of Jesus. In fact, you'd even say that before the events of the first Pentecost, which came about 50 days, that's what it means, 50. The word penta is 50. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. There were disciples on the earth at the time, many disciples actually, but there was really no organization that had developed that was meaningful. They just they gathered together, and Jesus told them to gather together, but there wasn't an organization that had been developed yet before Pentecost, so that they were just disciples that got together. And and that's why even when you look at the religious leaders of the day, even the political leaders of the day, all that they saw this group of people were a bunch of misfits, ragtag. They're following up this guy that's Jesus that they claimed that came back to life. And that's how that we were looked upon at first as followers of Jesus, as just a ragtag bunch of misfits that didn't have anything else to do but follow after this guy named Jesus that they're making a claim that came back to life. Well, then the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes, and it all changes from there on out. And that's what's awesome. That's why to us it actually has a significant meaning, and it's left a mark on history. It's left a mark in the world, the very thing that we call church today, and that's church abroad. That's a universal church. And you guys realize, you guys know this, the meaning of the word Catholic? You guys do know that, right? You do know what the meaning of the word Catholic means? Okay, well now you're going to find out, since it just simply means universal church. It's a universal gathering of God's people. Yeah, it's been kind of converted into different denominational departments, if you will, from Roman Catholic to all kinds. You know, some of them's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there's that many Catholic branches. But you know, it's funny, is we're just as guilty. How many Christian denominations do we have that are different flavors of Christianity from Christianity? Is that a word? Never heard of it before, but now I did. You know, how many different flavors do we have of that? You know, we have, are you a Pentecostal Christian? Do you know or no? Are you an evangelical Christian? Do you even realize or no? Do we know what we are as Christians? I don't know. Maybe we don't want to know what we are. I think that there are some things that we do that make us, put us into different camps, if you will. I know that wording of that sounds divisive, but it's just really identifying that what we are is who we are, is how we follow Jesus. Yes, we would say, as the majority of the Christians in our world today would say, well, we're just disciples of Christ. We're followers of Jesus. But yet we go to a certain label on a building that says Baptist Assembly, Evangelical, EV Free, Foursquare, Salt, ours says Salt Mine. So we're just as guilty because we have a name on our door that says who we are. So it's not that I'm, trying to make that as an evil thing, because I don't think it is. It's just a matter of when it becomes an ism, that's where it becomes a wrongism. I'm just making up words as I go along here. Just go with me. Come on, come with me. An ism is something that we actually put where we place not just identifications on people, but we put classes and we actually put dividers and separations of different people to different people. Whether you're in or out, we make divisions and dividers and we put dividers up. And that's where I think it gets askew. It goes off, and almost any ism is a wrong ism. I don't even think that's a word, but let's have fun with it, right? Anytime you refer to something, anyway. So let's go on. I'm gonna the historical point of view from Pentecost, the day which the church was started, the day which the church was birthed. Even from a spiritual perspective, the Spirit is where the Holy Spirit brings the church into existence. The Holy Spirit brought the church into existence and even is its life source. So if you have to go back to that and say where the Holy Spirit came in and brought life to the church, brought the church to life, continues to be the church's, the body of Christ's life source. And so we cannot discount or overlook or just take it for granted. But at the same time, we need to, I think, understand the working of the Holy Spirit today and the impact that the Holy Spirit is having on us, has had on the church, had on the world, and is still having on us today. So I want to get into it. There's three different parts, three different marks that I believe that the Holy Spirit, I want to highlight today, that is leaving a mark on us, left a mark and is leaving a mark on us today. It's very simple. It's just three different parts. Me personally, you personally, us as a corporate body, the church, and basically everyone else. So the Holy Spirit has left and is leaving a mark on the entire world. The entire world. So let's talk about it, how the Holy Spirit is leaving a mark, has left a mark, and is possibly leaving a mark even today, to where there's going to be something on the inside that happens that has evidence on the outside, a bruise. I know that sounds weird, but I'm asking God the Holy Spirit to bruise you. So a mark is left. Something happens on the inside where there's evidence on the outside. You guys okay with that? You want God the Holy Spirit to bruise you? I don't know if you guys I don't know how long has it been since you got a bruise, but the other day I was operating my lift gate and I went to shut it, and this tiny little piece of my skin got caught in the midst of this little metal. And that little tiny piece of skin left a bruise that, like, oh my gosh. And every now and then I come home and I have this bruise somewhere on my body that I didn't realize. And Robin's looking, so he said, what happened there? I said, I don't know, but something happened. I got dinged by something that's stronger than me. Usually metal. Something metal will always bruise you, right? God the Holy Spirit has the power, the ability to bruise you and make an impact on your life. So in my own personal life, so if you guys want to join with me, I'm gonna just talk about how the Holy Spirit has impacted me, left a mark on me, and how the Holy Spirit, and if you are brave enough to maybe share I'll give you an opportunity how the Holy Spirit is leaving a mark and has left a mark on you. I believe that Pentecost presents us with an opportunity, even today as we celebrate this day of Pentecost, to consider how I'm living my life each and every day. Whether or not I am relying on the power of God in the Holy Spirit to transform me. Whether or not I am allowing and giving God the permission to use me as a vessel, saying, not my will be done, but your will be done. It caused me to consider these areas of my life that how is it that God's using, changing me, transforming me, making me into the image of Christ, and using me in a dark and decaying world? So I think it's, you know, as we look at this, we celebrate it as a historical day, we commemorate it, but it's also a place to reflect and consider, what is God the Holy Spirit doing in me? What is it that He's doing? What has He done in me lately, if you will? What is He doing in me today? And how am I aligning myself with God the Holy Spirit? And how am I actually disconnecting myself? Because you have that capability to disconnect, to quench, and even to restrict. You realize that we have the capability to restrict the move of God in your life? Do you know that? I don't know if we realize that or not. We might not, that might be a hard one to swallow, but you actually have the potential and the capability to quench the fire of God moving in you and through you. We have that. We can easily make just slight little tweaks in our day to where we ignore and forget, or choose to forget is really the right wording to what God is saying, or just choose to ignore what God is speaking in us and through us. Kind of like, you know, like how Reagan shared us being obedient to the moving of God to share and to give to the work that they're doing there. You know, we could easily choose to ignore that. When God compels us to give, when God compels us to do something, we could easily ignore it. And you know, do you ever get these conversations in your mind? It's like, well, there's other things I need to take care of first. There's other stuff that I need to pay first. I can't give to that when I got my own issues, when I'm struggling myself. And God, the Holy Spirit, is saying, give to me. Give to the work that I'm telling you to give to. Remember the little story that, and it wasn't a story, it was actually an incident that happened in Jesus' life, when they were standing and watching people give, and as everybody was giving their great amounts and making a big noise about it, a poor widow woman came and gave just even a half a cent and didn't make any qualms about it, didn't make an issue about it or nothing, just gave a half a cent. A half a cent. We don't even have a money figure that's a half a cent. But she gave a half a cent. I guess there's pesos or like about a half a cent or even less than that. But she gave that, and it was all that she had. And Jesus said to her, to everybody watching, said, she gave more than anybody. She gave more than anybody. And it was, she gave her last half a cent. That's remarkable to me. I don't know why that just so speaks so loud and clear to the obedience to trust God, to give even your last. And then he made a statement, it's like many, they give out of their wealth, they give out of their excess, and it's really not much giving at all to give out of your excess. But when you give out of your necessity, that's true giving. That's awesome. I that's not in my notes anywhere, but the Holy Spirit wanted somebody to hear that this morning. So if that bruised you, that was for you. Nobody laughed. Oh, somebody laughed. But just for, that was a courteous laugh, huh? You know, how much of us are we paying attention to, asking myself in commemorating this day called Pentecost and it leaving a mark, am I paying attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Am I listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? oh man, I'll try to go here for a second because I feel like I need to, because I just heard something very loud that said a lot of my people don't know my voice. They don't know what my voice sounds like. I encourage you, if you don't recognize and know the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because it would probably be the majority of us, but I want to encourage you to ask, seek, and knock. It's the one thing that Jesus said, if somebody comes to me, if your son comes to you and asks for a loaf of bread, you're not going to give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake. And in that, he finishes that up, if you as my children, if you as the children of God, ask for the Holy Spirit, God wants so much to speak to you. I believe it with all my heart. God is always speaking. He is never not speaking. He is never, is that a double negative? Is it okay to say it? He is never not speaking. It's us listening. If you don't recognize and know what the Holy Spirit sounds like, ask for God to identify His voice in you. And go with that. Please go that direction. Don't stop and say, oh, that's it. Say, okay, now I want to know your voice even more. I want to hear it even clearer. I want to know the depth, and I want to hear you speaking into my heart. I want to hear you speaking into my ears, my brain. Transform my mind. That's what you tell us to do, is to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. God, the Holy Spirit, is in line with doing that. I encourage you to... Do you know what? Man, this isn't in my notes. I got like 4 pages of notes. So if the Lord gets us through this, that's be miraculous. Do you know what fasting is for and about? Okay, I'll talk about it then. If nobody knows what fasting is for or about, okay, then I'm going to teach you for a second. I'm going to equip you with a tool that helps you to hear the Holy Spirit. Fasting is what we do in our physical body, and we deny ourselves the elements of food. That's the purest form of fasting, is you drink water, drink fluids, but you deny yourself food and set a time frame about it. I suggest, and I actually encourage, go at least 3 days. 3 days of fasting. And I know some of you might say, physically, I can't do that. My makeup, my body won't do it. Find some other form to put the nutrients in your body. I mean, we have so many things out there that supply our bodies with the nutrition that we need. We don't need Carl's Jr. cheeseburgers. I really think I do, though. Especially when the commercial comes on. Oh my gosh, I'm running there right now. But I'm going to tell you what it does, what it actually does. You guys discover about half of my illustrations, if not more, all about food and sports. I just realized that the other day. It's like everything's about food or sports. Let me tell you what fasting does. We might think that it gets God's attention to our plea or cry out so that God will hear us. In this important matter that I am crying out to you, God, for. We might think that, but that's exactly opposite and the reverse of what actually happens in fasting. You guys with me? Yeah. Yeah, interested in this at all? Because I'm going to tell you, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit, this is one of the tools to hear the Holy Spirit, is to fast. In the midst of fasting, we pray. And in the midst of that denying of my flesh, what happens is, I'm removing an obstacle to hear God. I don't know if you realize this. It's like, that's just so simple. It's like you take out your stomach, always wanting to talk to you. And the Bible does say that we make our stomachs our God, and we listen to our stomach more than we listen to actually God. When we remove that, we actually have this supernatural capability, guess what? To hear God's voice. Isn't that awesome? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Firsthand from experience. That means that's great, and I'm glad that you do, but that means that there's so many more of us that just need to give it a go. God, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Give it a go. I still to this day, I love fasting. And that's weird because I love food, but I love to hear God even more. I love to hear from God. And I'm going to tell you, just as a little forewarning, whenever I go into a fast and I just want to hear God, and I'll even trick myself still to this day. I think I want to hear God about a certain matter in my life or in our church's life or in my family's life or in wherever, or even sometimes the world, you know, in the world's life, you know, the government things that are going on in this world and stuff that's going on. And I always go into it with the agenda to hear God a certain way for a certain thing. Isn't that funny? Come on, you guys got to laugh with me about that. Because God knows what I need to hear. Even if I think I know what I want to hear, God knows what I need to hear. And it's always something different than what I went into it for. But it's always, always so good, so true, and so right, and so God. And that it draws me closer to Him, to where I hear Him. I encourage you to learn what the Holy Spirit's voice sounds like. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, still in high school. Still in high school, yeah. Yeah. And that was the first time I ever fasted in high school was for 2 weeks. And I didn't, my biology teacher, we were in the middle of this biology experiment of like determining what we eat. And for some reason, it was like right in that, and I had nothing. And he's like, and he gave me big red marks. And because he's also was my football coach, because he did not like the fact that I was not eating because I should be eating and working out and getting bigger and stronger and all that stuff. And he put big red marks. This is not healthy. And it was almost like a Daniel and experience because as he was telling me this is unhealthy and unwise to do, God the Holy Spirit was doing some miraculous things in my own family's life. And I believe it with all my heart that my family came to know Jesus because of that obedience to just cry out to God and listen to God. And my mom was walking down the street, just walking down the street, and just all of a sudden started crying out to God, God, help me, save me from this mess of a life. And who pulls up? Glenn and Linda pull up right then and there. Oh, that's really coincidental, isn't it? Yeah. Fasting son that just got saved, mom salvation that needed to happen. People who knew how to introduce her to Jesus drove up right at the same time. Do you think that God actually does stuff? Amen. Do you think God moves in people's lives? Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you, Jesus. Yes. I'll try. I'll make an attempt. She asked if it would tell a difference between giving up something for Lent. Lent is that 40-day that they take. The Catholic Church has taken on as a move, and I believe it. I like it personally because I like that kind of thing. I'm all about sacraments and stuff like that. I think they're fantastic when they're correctly done and they're done for the right reason and the motivation of the heart. When you give up something, It is in the same framework, if I'm not mistakenly about it. I believe as a believer in Christ, as a disciple of Jesus, when we make a decision to fast, it's one we can make personal fasts, and then we could also do corporate fasts. And I believe that the difference is just that it's a corporate gathering of a fast. It encourages people to give something up for a time frame so that. The motivation is the same, to be able to hear God even better and get a little clearer, if you will, clearer reception from God the Holy Spirit to speak. And I believe that to be true across the board. Anytime we give something up, we kind of remove obstacles. We remove obstacles from us hearing clearly from God. And have you got any obstacles from hearing from God in your way, in your life? Don't raise your hand, because if you don't raise your hand, you're just lying. And I don't want to make you liars, because then that would be an obstacle. So I'm just telling you, I think that there's what I encourage you to. This is because this is the part of my notes that I'm at is my own personal life, is my own personal connection to listening to God, the Holy Spirit, giving Him the power to have an impact on my personal life. So when we talk about personal fasting, that's what I'm referring to right here and now. There are corporate fasts, and we've done them here at the Salt Mine. We've done them when there's things that have come up, and we said, let's do a corporate fast. In other words, let's all fast together at the same time. And I believe that that's an awesome place to be. You know, I like the fact that I don't think we'll never religiously incorporate Lent as Christians, but I kind of like it. I don't have anything against it. In fact, I've personally done little things. I think it gets kind of funny and silly when people give up, you know, different things that are really not really a give up. I'm not going to dig at the millennial generation, but I'm going to for a second. How did I just say that? I'm not going to, but I am. One of the things that is encouraged to give up, and I think it's a real issue, is they give up. How can you imagine us giving up our social media devices for 40 days? That's how long Lent. I know, exactly. Are you kidding me? I will die. I will absolutely die. Right, Blake? Isn't it true? I know many college students that say, yeah, we're going to do a digital fast, they call it. I think they, isn't that what they call it? Something like that. Yeah. Well, they all start out well. They finish not as well. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you gave it up for a week and just read your Bible, the hard one? See, I don't even have one. That's all I use anymore.
Yeah. 75-year-olds.
Well, I think it's starting to have to be that way now. Yeah, I think it's starting at, not just 75-year-olds, 40, 50-year-olds. I'm almost. I turned 50 in a few weeks. Holy guacamole! Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. I'm starting to feel it too. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on. I'm hoping I get through some of this to where it's actually it's makes an impact on your life today. You know, most Christians I know, including myself, we claim to and we desire to live by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We, you know, that we walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's also our own fears limit us to live and walk and hear the power of God in our lives. Our own fears, our own sins that hinder us, even our own misconstrued understandings, our low expectations. You guys okay?
Okay,
good. Even the things in our life that seem to, they can hinder us from, I think, what God actually intends for our fullness. Jesus came that we may have fullness of life. Jesus came that we can have an abundant, full, joyful, peaceful life, full of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And yet at the same time, I don't know about, even myself and a lot of Christians, we walk around gloomy and doomy. And it's like, where's the joy and the peace and the power? You realize that the power of the Holy Spirit in me has set me free from the bondage of sin? Do I really believe that? Yes, I really believe it. If I really believe it, I'm going to live and walk in that. And I think that sometimes I and you, if you'll join me in realizing the truth of it, we hinder our own selves to the power of God working in us and through us. And I think that we, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to leave a mark. But I want him to be nice to me. I want it to be a gentle massage that makes me feel really good about myself. Definitely don't want to feel convicted. Let's not call sin sin. Let's call it other things. You know, faults, mishaps, even disorders, and you know, my own. Let's not call it what it actually is, because that doesn't really. That's not very nice, right? God, the Holy Spirit, to have an impact on you is going to have to leave a mark. And it's going to have to sometimes call my sin, my sin. And I'm just as frail as any of you, as all of us. When God the Holy Spirit pokes me, prods me, even stabs me, punches me, leaves a mark. And it should leave a mark. We're meant to live in the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. God the Holy Spirit helps me confess that Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3 tells us that it's by the Spirit of God that we can confess that Jesus is Lord. Helps us to pray. Helps us to intercede for others, to God the Father, for others' lives. God the Holy Spirit helps us to live like Jesus. Can I just to say something really quick? And I'm sometimes me being open and vulnerable opens it up for other things. And I want you to hear this really clearly and truly. I have an issue with the word help. I don't know. I just have an issue with the word help. I'm going to tell you, and I'm being extremely just transparent and vulnerable. It's my issue. It's my issue because I do not have a proper understanding of what, when Jesus says, I will give you another helper, he tells us, it's biblical, God the Holy Spirit is our helper. Why do I have an issue with the word help and helper? I just do. So I have to confess that. I have to put that in the light because it's my issue. The reason I do, I think, is it's my own pride. It's my own pride. When somebody helps me, the majority of the time, they're really not a help. They're more in my way. Yes. Yeah. So I want to hear what you got to say. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. And I appreciate you sharing that because I felt very real that it was a help. And if I can get through this whole message, which I probably won't, the reason I'm sharing this is because when I say this, God the Holy Spirit helps us to live like Jesus. I did something because I was honest with myself about this. I let God the Holy Spirit make me honest with myself about this and take up the issue in my heart about understanding the word help. So I just did something. I looked it up in the dictionary. But what does it really mean? Because I don't think I have the right meaning of it in my mind to translate it to my heart, to make it a part of my life, an applicable part of my life. Hello? That goes on in my head all the time. I have the Bible app that's the most used on my iPad and the dictionary app that's most used on my iPad. Those are the two. See, I need a voice app on my iPad too to help me speak what I want to. But here's what the word helps means, according to the dictionary. It means to give or provide what is necessary to accomplish a task or satisfy a need, to contribute strength or means to render assistance to, and even so that there can be effective cooperation. When I read that, I'm like, that's what the Holy Spirit does in me all the time. Did you hear that? Okay, I need to read it again because I don't think it really resonated with what actually is happening. It's to give or provide what is necessary. In other words, not just what is, what's the word I'm looking for? Come on, dictionary head in my head. What is considered to be what? No. It's not just an obsolete option. It's not optional. The Holy Spirit in your life is not. I just got to say that right. Not something to be called on at the very end. For one, he's not a something. So you said two things wrong, saying the right thing, which is God, the Holy Spirit, is not a thing. He's not a power. He's a person, and he's very real, and he's alive. So he's alive in me, but he is necessary. He's not obsolete. He's not just a choice. It's like, well, that's why I say when we talk about us being Pentecostal Christians, as though it's like, well, do I really want to be a Pentecostal Christian? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You either are a Christian, and if you're a Christian, you're a Pentecostal Christian. In other words, the Holy Spirit, for you to know Jesus, it takes the Holy Spirit doing it in you, through you. You can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. That makes you a Pentecostal believer. And yes, we've gotten it all weird to where, woo, this is Pentecostal, jumping around and rolling on the floor. That's not that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that you need because he's necessary. God, the Holy Spirit, not optional. I was going to say that, but it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth or train. Huh? Oh, gosh, she's a college student. I didn't even know what she just said. Blake, will you translate that in English for me? No. Just teasing. Yes. Exact. Amen, brother. Yes. It's not one opinion among many. In other words, we don't get to just pick and choose whether or not I want to listen to or be Holy Spirit filled. Sorry, it's not a choice. Well, yeah, you can choose, but then you're choosing to not follow Christ. You follow Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and only by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are a disciple of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's, amen? Amen. You guys with me? Man, I'm going, I got, there's three points. Remember I talked about personal, church, and everybody else. I'm not even partway through the first one. Possibly. But I love this because I want to read to you a passage of scripture that I think says all of this in Paul's language. it's in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. I might have to reread it in a Living Bible translation just simply because as we read this, you'll say, wow, this is exactly what he's referring to here. It's Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1 all the way through verse 12. Listen to this. And some of these verses in the Bible you've heard them quoted. They're popular to quote. But let's read it in the context of what Paul's actually writing to us is that it's by the Holy Spirit that anything that God does in you and through you happens, and you need to identify that and get right with it. It's not by a law, it's not by a works, it's not by anything but the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's read it. I'm gonna out scream Everly. Is that Everly? Yeah. Man, we got all these A's. It's the age of A's in baby names, huh? Yeah. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There, that's a little commercial for fasting. So when you remove the fleshly things, all of a sudden, it's weird how it happens. It's a supernatural dynamic that happens. Remove fleshly things, the Spirit becomes a little bit more attentive. We hear God the Holy Spirit a little more clear. Sometimes that's all we need, brother and sister. That's all you need sometimes is just a little oomph to get you over the hump of what is putting you down and nailing you down to this world and your own issues. Hello? I believe that. Some of you just need a little nudge. Some of you need a thing. That's okay. Right? Yeah. I'm not looking at you. Oh, okay, I was. Sorry. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Woo. They say that people that are passionate, they talk with their hands and their feet and their eyes and stuff. And then when I start reading the word, it's like something just gets all. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Anybody want some life and peace? Sounds like a good cereal to eat every morning, huh? I'd buy it. Right? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not optional, guys. You're either in God or not in God. The Holy Spirit is in you or He is not. You're either going left or you're going right. Right? Correct? You're either going forward or going backwards. I know we seem to think that we can do some little karaoke dance that dances with the world and dances with God and dances with myself and gets to do all of the above. But that's not the case. That doesn't. There's no truth in that. That is a deception, a delusion that if you think you can serve more than one master. Jesus said you can only serve one. You can only serve one. And he even says you'll either hate the one and love the other, despise the one, or follow the other. So it's not even this place where we seem to think that we can like God, love God, and still like the world and like the things of this world. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. Let's go on. I'll read starting verse 9. But you are not in the flesh and of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You guys hear that? The same Spirit and the power of God that raised a dead man to life dwells in you. Yes. Yes. That's so powerful. That's so true. We're the only ones that are hindering. And it could be just your disbelief. You can ask God, God, I believe that. I know that. Help me with my unbelief. Help me. Again, the word help. Help me. I love that. I love that. I think I'm going to stop there because that's actually where I was meant to say verse 11. I believe that here's what God is doing, and yes, I'll finish up the last two next week because I think they go hand in hand with each other. Because I definitely don't want to stop there because I'm going to tell you this is is, and I'm going to say this and speak this truthfully, God the Holy Spirit loves you right where you're at. He loves you as you are. He chooses you just like you are. And He does not want you to stay where you are. God the Holy Spirit is dynamic. The word is what's the spiritual word, the Greek word for, is it, can you say it, Blake? Anybody? Michael? Is it, huh? Yes, which is what we get, dunamis, which is the word that we get dynamite from. In other words, explosive, dynamic, moving, never stagnant, always pointing you and I to Jesus. Always. Because Jesus is the answer, and it all stems and comes back to it's all His fault. I love that. I the Holy Spirit told me to say this too this morning, and I think it's pretty cool. And then we're going to worship the Lord. If God the Holy Spirit is dynamic, has power, is power, there's something also that we need to consider, and we need to come to the grips with. In the place where there's power, there's also a place of danger and risk. Think of fire. Have you ever tried to cook a hamburger by just standing next to it with your own body heat? It's not going to work, is it? I don't even think it'll warm up. But it would sure be safe until you eat it. To cook something requires a source of power. And he means, I can cook it in the microwave and push a button and it's safe. It's like, no, you don't understand what kind of electricity, right, David, that is being transferred to that tiny little box that has a capability to basically, it's like a bomb in your home. I don't know if you realize it now. You're going to be afraid to go use your microwave at home now. But it's like a bomb that's in your home. And we just push buttons on it and put stuff in it, right, David? 220 is a lot of electricity, right? So I'm not going to tell you who he works for. Some of you might get upset and say, I don't know if I like him or not. Yeah, I know. But I'm telling you, everything, for something to happen, it takes a source of power and force that moves something else that's greater than what it's moving. You understand that? That's what I'm trying to say with that. Fire is a source. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire is a source that has the potential to do damage and is dangerous, but it also has the ability and the potential to create and to build and to be used correctly and rightly to do something amazing in you personally. God the Holy Spirit loves you and is moving you to surrender and commit your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Always. Even after you know Him as Lord and Savior, He's always still pointing you to Jesus. Have you ever realized that, found that out? Before you didn't know Jesus, He's pointing you to Jesus. After you know Jesus, guess who He keeps pointing you to? Jesus is still the answer. Amen? Let us pray, and then we'll worship the Lord and move on to some other stuff next week. So, Father God, we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus, that Your love is able to penetrate any sort of barrier, any barricade that I have set up that paints a wrong picture of who You are. And to even Your power, Holy Spirit, has a capability to wipe a slate clean and paint a true and clear, precise picture of You, Jesus, So we're asking you to do that. I'm asking you to do that personally in my life, in the areas of my life where I have wrong pictures painted in my mind about your love, about who you are, Jesus. And asking you, Holy Spirit, to paint on a canvas in my mind and in my heart what Jesus looks like. I give you permission right now to do that in me and through me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.